right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, initially when I was hearing that, I was saying, well, who's breaking something? News? And then I remember, oh, that's Michael Jackson. Who's bad, I think it is.
It's Jam.
Oh, Jam. Michael Jackson Jam. Anyway, at least I knew it was the right artist without hearing his voice. But anyway, I want to welcome my guest, Dr. Michael Rosen. He's a former economics professor and union president at Milwaukee Area Technical College. And you're still an author for The Examiner.
Yeah.
For The Examiner. And he's here every other Tuesday. I'm glad he's here. You know, Dr. Rosen, before we get into these, you know, our conversation we're going to have, you know, I was in a conversation yesterday with a gentleman who clearly wanted to argue about the fact that he and others like him are patriots. And so these are guys who are MAGA folk and those kind of things, and somehow they think they wear a badge of honor by calling themselves patriots as if other people aren't. And so I thought I'd look up the definition of what that is, you know, because he clearly thought that he had it because he wants to fight to take the nation back to the way it was, right? And whatever that means, but there are a lot of people like him, and it's part of what's at the root of what's happening in this country right now, Dr. Rosen, that it's pretty dangerous, where there's this hatred towards a person who may be different based on the fact that he's not a Republican or you're a Democrat, and this damage is severe. And I don't know how we overcome that. But anyway, patriotism is the feeling of love, devotion, and a sense of attachment to one's country. This attachment can be a combination of many different feelings, languages relating to one's own homeland, including ethnic, cultural, political, or historical aspects. What is the purpose of patriotism? While nationalism puts emphasis on the heritage and cultural unity, patriotism puts more emphasis on values and beliefs and arms to achieve love for country and nation. And so all of these different titles that people want to wear that separates them one from another, Dr. Rosen, has been a problem in our nation since its inception, separating people based on these types of things. So when you hear the term patriotism and people wear that on their chest, what does that mean to you?
Well, I'm glad to be here, Earl. And I think that everybody across the political spectrum likes to claim that they are a patriot. It doesn't matter whether you're on the
Democrat
far
or Republican, right?
Far right or the left. Everybody thinks that what they're doing is for love of country. In my own mind, a patriot is someone who's committed to the values that were expressed in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with life, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the first principle. And then the second principle is that governments are set up by the governed and exist with the consent of the governed. And if they no longer respond to the consent of the governed, the governed have the right to change the government. It seems to me that those are kind of the founding principles. Those are the principles that the United States was formed on when it declared its independence from the monarchy in Britain. And so if you're going to evaluate whether someone is a patriot, do they ascribe to the notion that all men are created equal and endowed with the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think that's a good litmus test. I think that many of the so-called patriots or the far right, the militia movement, they're not patriots. In fact, they ascribe to a kind of philosophy. When they say go back to what the nation was, they don't want to go back to what the nation was, except in the sense that at one point this was a slave-holding nation, so it was won by wealthy, white, slave-owning men. Now, they wouldn't say they want to go back to a slave-holding society, but they want to go back to a society where the not a multiracial democracy, which is what our country has evolved into. So that would be those would be my initial thoughts on that.
You know, Dr. Rosen, you really, you know, I mean, you clarified it well. And anybody who does not agree with your assessment that you didn't create, by the way, you know, the rest of that is really mishmash. If everybody in the nation, if you don't look at everybody in the nation as an equal, you know, and that we are all Americans, and the value of each one of us is equal and the same, then the rest of that stuff you're talking about, flying the flag and driving the truck and wearing the MAGA hat and all those things really mean nothing, right?
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about the history of the country, it's evolved through waves of immigrants and others.
Right.
And I have to make it clear, not everybody was an immigrant. Native American people
right.
weren't immigrants. And clearly, African American people who were brought here in chains from Africa were not immigrants.
Right.
But if you think about the history of just the immigrants, for example, when the Irish came, they weren't considered white. They were considered a lower species, an inferior species, because the definition of white at that time was white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And they were the ones that dominated the politics, the economics, the culture of the society. And the Irish were brought in as low-wage laborers. They were fleeing from the Great Famine in Ireland. In fact, there had been an attempt in the United States as it was industrializing in the 1830s to create a labor force using women in the early 1830s. That had failed, and as a result, the country turned, the industrialists in the country turned to immigrants, and the first wave were the Irish. Now, they were Catholic, and they brought their Catholicism and their cultural ways from Ireland with them, and they were severely discriminated with, in fact, and as a result, had to fight their way up, as every immigrant group did. If you go into the latter part of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, the next wave of immigrants were from Eastern and Southern Europe. They were Polish, they were Italian, they were Jewish from Russia and other areas, Slovakian, etc. And again, they were brought here because there was a need for labor, and they were severely discriminated against. I mean, I can talk about my own family. My father was from Baltimore. My mother was from New York. They ended up in Wisconsin because Jews would not be there were quotas on the number of Jews that could go to college in the East Coast colleges, and Wisconsin was open, and so they came here
right.
to go to college. So all of those groups, and of course the same was true of African Americans who were migrating from the South. They faced severe discrimination in the South, but when they came North, they also faced discrimination. All of those groups of people were Americans who were fighting their way both for economic and political opportunity. Many of the African Americans who came from the South, for example, had no political rights in the South. They were disenfranchised, and part of the allure of the North was not only economic opportunity, but political freedom, liberty. Today we have a multiracial democracy in this country, and people who in these far right groups want to disband that. They want to, when they say go back, they talk about going back to a time when this was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant nation. A best example of that is that they've invited Viktor Orban from Hungary, the president of Hungary, who was a Christian nationalist and an anti-Semite, and who has barred immigrants from Hungary. He's become the crown prince of that movement right now. And he is a despot. He's eliminated democracy in his own country. And yet he's the kind of ruler that these groups now want to emulate.
You know, Dr. Rosen, the fear in those things is what we are hearing now on an almost daily basis, where we've got a segment of our population, well armed, by the way, mm-hmm. who can make threats to the IRS, can make threats to the FBI, can make threats to poll workers.
Well, isn't this the irony, Earl, that people who claim to be patriots?
Yes.
Tried to overthrow the United States government on January 6th, tried to stop, and in the process, assaulted police officers and the people protecting the Capitol. Isn't it ironic that people who claim to be patriots blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City?
Yes.
Murdering over 200 people. People who claim to be patriots went into a Buffalo supermarket with the explicit aim of murdering black people. People who claim to be patriots went into a Walmart in New Mexico or in Texas, in El Paso, to slaughter.
Hold that thought. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Kendrick made you think about it, but he is not your savior. Cole made you feel empowered, but he is not your savior. Future said get a money counter, but he is not your savior.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. He's a retired Milwaukee Area Technical College economics professor and former president of MATC. He presently is an author for the... what is the name of the Wisconsin Examiner? Dr. Rosen, we were talking before we went to break about the inherent danger of these militias and these types of groups, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're so heavily armed and they're setting up shop, and it's almost like, you know, the government is aware of them, and there's some inherent danger in it, Dr. Rosen. They, you know, you saw in Charlotte, West Virginia, the Proud Boys in Charlottesville, Virginia, the Oath Keepers, and they clearly stated to Jewish people that you're not going to ever take our places. And so, you know, these people are hateful and dangerous. And their focus is to wreak havoc.
They're also fringe. And what I think is more disconcerting and should be
the Republican Party
is that the Republican Party has embraced these ideas and defends them. When one of the people acts on some of these threats, for example, after the Republican Party began to raise havoc because the in the Inflation Reduction Bill Act, one of the portions of it was to increase the number of
87,000
increase IRS the number agents. Of IRS agents. And by the way, just so people have the facts on that, the reason for that was that since 2010, there has been a 30% reduction in the enforcement staff at the IRS. And as a result, there's been a 70% decline in the audits of millionaires. The premise of hiring these agents is that everybody who should pay their fair share, and that what has happened in this country is that by getting rid of, not replacing agents, allowing them to retire, seeing the decline in enforcement agents, millionaires who are not paying what they are legally required to pay have gotten away with something that a middle-class taxpayer like you, Earl, or myself could not get away with. And as a result, the federal government is losing money that it's legally entitled to and that could be used for veterans benefits, for federal aid to education, for child health care, and a number of other important role things, national defense,
right,
that the federal government is responsible for providing for the American people.
Yeah.
And yet they're attacking these employees, these government employees who are simply implementing the law or will be hired to implement the law to make sure that everybody pays their fair share, a basic principle that all Americans are created equal, and they're attacking them as thugs. And as a result, then someone went out and attempted to assassinate,
right,
somebody. That's what happens. It's why the FBI has said that domestic right-wing terrorism is the greatest threat to the country right now. These militias, like the Oath Keepers, are heavily armed, and there are people attracted to it who are unhinged and will engage in things as they did in New Mexico, murdering American citizens who are of Hispanic descent, or Buffalo, Black Americans, or in Pittsburgh, Jewish Americans. These people, and the Republican Party has given license to this by defending the ideas that these Oath Keepers and other militias are operating under.
You know, Dr. Rosen, Donald Trump didn't of and by himself create this, but he certainly made it okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he made it okay to be racist in this nation. He made it okay to be racist. These people were already there, but they were under the radar. But, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, you can go back to Ronald Reagan announcing his candidacy for the President of the United States in 1979-1980, and he did it in the city in Mississippi where Michael Schwerner, James,
right,
Cheney, and the third guy, young man, student,
right,
were murdered. That was a choice to do that. It was sending a message and in that speech, he said, all the people down here are good Americans. So he was sending a message that legitimized that kind of hate. And of course, we know that when George Herbert Walker Bush ran, he ran the Willie Horton ads. You know, these were dog whistle ads. Now they don't use the dog whistles anymore. They don't need to. It's been legitimate. There's been step after step. They've legitimized racial antagonism And now it's become an acceptable part of the political discourse.
All right, got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. You can join us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen, economics professor and former union president of Milwaukee Area Technical College, and he's also an author at The Examiner. You know, Dr. Rosen, I love it so much when you come in because of not only your knowledge, but the fact that You really explain it in a manner that all of us can understand. There's something horrific going on in our nation. I'm not saying it hasn't always been there, but you know, for the most part, we've gone through racism and bigotry before in this nation, Dr. Rose, and it's not new. So some of us been around long enough to have seen it, and it never left, really. But now it's out front and in your face. And when you have a guy who's was the former president of the United States and is lobbying to become that again, and then you watch the things that he's done, Dr. Rosen, for instance, taking all of those secrets, top secrets, to his home and talking as if they were his. Mm-hmm. And then when the government itself does what they had to do because the man defied the FBI and the rule of law to return those documents, to see people supporting him, and then our government say we have to be careful about how we handle this or else Donald Trump has minions who may do something. Aren't we in a place, Dr. Rosen?
We're in a very dangerous place in this country. I would suggest that people think about and compare it to the rise of fascism in Germany in the late 1920s and early 1930s. Actually, one of the fathers of fascist studies was a professor, George Mossy, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who actually was his family escaped the Holocaust. They were German Jews from Berlin. And Mossy pointed out that the rise of fascism or the appeal of fascism, authoritarianism, an anti-democratic authoritarianism in Germany was a response to rapid technological and institutional change. And you can make an argument that we're experiencing that in this country. Much of the base of the right wing, the MAGA crowd, of the crowd that is supporting someone like Tim Michaels, for example,
right,
are rural or non-urban areas that have experienced rapid decline because of deindustrialization and globalization.
Technology.
Technological change. They've been hard hit by the opioid crisis. So, you know, they have the real despair and taking place in those communities, and so the response of a so-called patriotic movement that claims that we are the real people. In Germany, it was the Volk. We have to go back to the Volk, you know, the real German people. And we're seeing the same thing here. And I think that it's a real cause for concern. Remember, Adolf Hitler did not seize power. He was elected as the Prime Minister of Germany. Former President Trump and his advisors like Steve Bannon, former advisors right. like Steve Bannon, have made clear that if he is reelected in 2024, they are going to clean house both personnel-wise as well as institutionally in this country. So they've made it clear that they want to establish a different kind of government and autocracy in this country. And of course, I think it's a real threat, because what fascism really is a non-democratic, or it's a corporate takeover of the country in a non-democratic form. That was the case in Germany. And of course, Germany had its own particularities of anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. Here, it would probably take some different form, but there's a real danger in this country right now.
Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, you're up.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. Did I hear you right that Dr. Michael Rosen is the president of MATC, no, Madison Area Technical College?
No, you heard me wrong. You didn't hear. I didn't say that. Okay, I said he's a retired professor at MATC, and he was the president of the union.
What?
One of the teachers' unions. But go ahead.
Okay. What did Dr. Rosen teach?
Why? What difference does it
make? I taught economics.
Okay. Economically, our country's in a dire situation right now. And I guess, you know, just to cover some of the things that you were talking about, I am a conservative libertarian that you called us names, I guess, or whatever, that
no,
you
I didn't.
Include me in some of these aspects, because I guess as that, I'm concerned about the two tiers of justice. We watched perpetrators in January 6th, and I think they're being prosecuted, and they should be. We watched the police officer that killed George Floyd. He's been prosecuted and should be. So punishment is there to include every officer, because I've seen opportunities of police reform and the defund the police, because
hey,
now we have candidates.
CJ.
So my question is, okay, I have a question. You know, you speak of the opioid and fentanyl. That's coming from policies of this administration coming across the border. We watched
the opioid crisis started long before the Biden administration was elected. You know that
300,000 people that they've caught this month.
The opioid crisis began long before. In fact, it was
how many illegals came across.
Excuse me. The opioid crisis, and you talk about justice, was actually promoted and developed by corporations in the United States. The Sickler family is one of them. They were prosecuted in courts, and to avoid the judgments, they all made deals to pay off in literally hundreds of millions of dollars state governments that had sued
and
them.
These were not
immigrants. These were American citizens who organized corporations that spread opioids all over the country.
Turn CJ down. When he's talking, turn CJ down. Go ahead, Dr. Rosen.
No, that's that. I mean, my,
so,
my
okay,
point
so,
is, it has the opioid crisis had nothing to do with the Biden administration. Its origins, that is, it long predated that. When you say that the country is in bad shape economically, I'm not. I'd like to know exactly what you're referring to.
So here's the problem with CJ. He wants to focus on something completely different than what we're talking about, and so address the issues that we are talking about, CJ, when it comes to people on the right and the inherent dangers that this nation face because of people who have those views. Turn them up.
Okay. I would love to respond because people like me, and I think even independents and Democrats, some smart ones, want the policies that created affordable housing, gas, groceries, that this and not an open border where fentanyl is coming from, and not 300,000 illegals every month that are undocumented, that can't be documented. We want the Trump policies. I don't care about 2024 right now. Our country is being destroyed by this president. We're not safer. We're not more prosperous. I believe in Donald Trump's and conservative policies, and that's why your party wants to deflect from the real issue.
Okay, so Donald
trade.
Trump, Donald Trump is far from a conservative, and you know that. It's very hard for me to even to understand how someone who actually ascribes to conservative policies. For example, balancing the budget, restraining a government spending. Donald Trump gave the largest tax break, $1.9 trillion in the history of the country, that was a tax break mainly to the wealthy, to corporations and the very wealthy in this country. That increased the deficit and the national debt, something that conservatives claim that they do not support. These are facts. You can laugh. You can.
Well, the mere fact is we're living in a Democrat
and excuse me.
Turn him down.
Excuse me. And the fact is that when you talk about immigration, it has always been the goal of corporate America to increase the flow of immigrants into this country because they want the labor. Donald Trump, and that's been a conservative policy. They didn't want them to be citizens because that would allow them to keep their wages lower, but they've always been the ones advocating for more open borders. To bring people across. Now, Trump has opposed that, but it's mainly to scapegoat people, to divide people in this country. And now what you saw was when there's been a decline in immigration in this country over the last 3 or 4 years, we have significant labor shortages. You know, you can't have it both ways. During COVID crisis, these workers who were the vast majority of employees, for example, in the meatpacking plants that were kept open, were considered essential workers and American heroes. And now you're trying to scapegoat them and say that they're the problem in this country. These immigrants aren't bringing fentanyl in. Gangs are bringing fentanyl in, if you're concerned about that across the border. That we have an immigration crisis in this country. And if you're a conservative, a real conservative, you would want to figure out a policy to fix our broken immigration system, just as someone who is a real liberal would want to. And there have been bipartisan attempts to do that, but they've always been undermined by the extreme right scapegoating them. Senators from Florida, for example, had worked on a bipartisan agreement under President Bush to try to fix the problem. But the scapegoating of immigrants and the scare tactics of immigrants, something that you're mouthing right now, were used to undermine it. So we still have a broken system. Until we address that system, we're going to continue to have problems, this kind of problem.
All right, CJ, quickly. CJ?
You want me to... No. Just
CJ? CJ, quickly. CJ, quickly.
Well, I would love to respond because quickly. The fact that you didn't discuss 300,000 last month compared to 30
all right,
the last month.
Listen,
this is an open border.
CJ, we got to go to a break. All right. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. My guest is my old friend, Dr. Michael Rosen, economics professor, former economics professor and union president at Teachers Federation, American Federation of Teachers Local 212 at MATC. He's also an author for the Wisconsin Examiner. Let's go to the phone lines and Gene. Hey, Gene, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, Earl, I get so sick and tired of these cowards coming home talking about patriotism. If you search, neither one of them has gone to a war like Vietnam or anything else, and they have the audacity to fly the American flag.
That's
so
correct.
I'm saying, over here, these cowards, they sicken me. Now, this guy talking about, this CJ talking about Joe Biden and the economy. You know what? Let me ask CJ something. How many Exxon Mobil do Joe Biden own? How many Walmarts do he own? How many Home Depots does he own? He don't own none of this stuff. Joe Biden is just a figurehead that signs bills when they come to his office. His Republican people who own all these corporations, they're the one that's gouging the American people, and they ain't blaming Joe Biden. Now, if he really want to stop people from coming across the border, he go after these thugs and these corporations who are hiring them. Go after them. That way you stop the immigration problem. You'll solve it if you put these criminals in jail who are enticing these people to come across there for higher wages. So his perspective is up his rear end, and he needs to go to bathroom. He needs to go to bathroom and drop it out. That's my thought for the day.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Rosen, you want to?
Yeah, well, I'd say a couple of things. One is, if we go back to the COVID crisis and the Trump administration, in many ways, there's a lot of good things in the economy. We have the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. We've actually seen wage increases, even adjusted for inflation, for the poorest 20% of workers. Because there's a labor shortage, employers like Walmart or fast food restaurants have had to dramatically increase their wages, even the Amazons, for low-wage workers. At the same time, of course, inflation is a serious problem, especially for middle-class people who haven't had those kind of salary increases, and it's a problem for the very wealthy because it erodes their investments. If you invest and you're making 4 or 5% and inflation's 9%, your money's losing its value. So it's a real problem, and of course it's eating up the wage increases of people at the bottom as well, even though they've experienced them. But let's not forget that if you go back 2 years, 2.5 years ago, you know, we had double-digit unemployment. People were not getting wage increases.
What? Under Donald Trump?
Yeah, under Donald Trump, under COVID, of course.
Yeah.
But when we first shut down the economy, and people were worried that we were going to get into a real
depression.
We're not. And so inflation has been a bigger problem than people anticipated, and I certainly don't want to downplay the significance of it.
The problem with the supply lines?
Well, there's a number of causes of inflation. I've noticed on some of the television ads, they say for Senator Johnson, he says that, well, inflation was caused by too much government spending. That's really, there's no evidence for that. Let's talk about what the causes of inflation were. Number one was the cut, the supply chain cut shortages caused by supply chain problems, principally China. And that's because China had become the manufacturing center of the world under bipartisan trade agreements that gave China favored nation status in 1999-2000, and China rapidly became the manufacturing center of the world, including things like semiconductors. Incidentally, the Biden administration has now gotten a bill through Congress, which he signed, that will bring semiconductor production back into the United States so that we're not dependent on a country like China or Vietnam for that production. But the fact that's one of the causes of inflation, and China still has these shutdowns, and we're still dependent on products from China, and so they're not coming through. Another factor is that we have very highly concentrated industries in this country because we have not used antitrust policy. And so, for example, I mean, a good example of this was the baby formula shortage that existed. Well, there's only two or three companies that produce that formula in the whole United States. So when one of the plants was shut down, it immediately created a shortage and a crisis. That's not the Biden administration's fault. That's the fault that we have administration after administration, but particularly Republican administrations, have refused to prosecute or use antitrust legislation to stop the combination of these companies. So in industry after industry, meatpacking, airlines, baby formula, we could go on. We have only a handful of companies. It's what economists call an oligopoly, which is this, another shorthand term for it, a popular term, is a shared monopoly. There's not one company, but it's a few companies that operate in a monopolistic fashion. Coke and Pepsi are a great example. You know, there's lots of all kinds of ads that best tape filling, but in fact, Coke and Pepsi cost the same amount. There's and they raise their prices, and consumers have no other choice. And that's the case.
Which is really anti-capitalism.
It's anti-capitalism in the sense that
it's corporatism.
There's supposed to be a competition, but it's very favorable to the capitalists who own these companies. And that is another reason that prices have gone up, inflation, because the oil industry is another example. You have a cartel, OPEC, that refused to, even with the Biden administration pressuring them to increase the production of crude oil, they refused. So crude oil prices rose significantly. These guys were taking advantage of the market and with little competition, and they laughed all the way to the bank. So these are some of the factors that have contributed to inflation. It's not the Biden administration, except to the extent that the Biden administration should be much, the Justice Department should be much more aggressive in prosecuting antitrust violations, and I'd like to see that happen.
You know, Dr. Rosen, I wish we had more time, but I know you got to go. We'll be back 2 weeks from now, as always. So great to have you back on the air, and your passion and your knowledge. People need to know what's happening in our country. And as long as I'm on the airwaves, we're going to bring voices like yours to the audience, and people will begin to realize we got to push back. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.